I asked the Lord, I said, oh, Lord, you know, if I'm doing the message, I wouldn't know how to start or, you know, like break the ice, you know. I'd kind of like to, maybe a little joke or something, but I'm not very funny, you know. Homer, when he gets up here, he's just funny, you know, with the big ear and the little ear. I mean, my ears are the same size, you know. What do I do? And I can't pick on Pastor because he's not here. You know, I could say something about the crazy way he makes up words or that him and Arnold Schwarzenegger are the only two men in the whole planet still blow dry their hair, you know, but he's not here, so I can't make fun of him. So I was like, oh, Lord, how do I start? And he just said, well, you got to explain why you're up there. So this is kind of how I got up here. I really felt like there might not be a lot of margin with Pastor gone so long and Homer being in Texas, just like he just said, you know, he was in Texas for so long, and then he came here. He had to do so many services. I was like, boy, we're going to be getting to the end, and somebody's going to have to, you know, pick up the ball there. And I was like, I better, you know, run it by Pastor that, you know, I could do a service or whatever and kind of help out with that if it was needed. And Pastor was like, yeah, okay, but, you know, Homer's in charge, so if he wants to say no, he can. And but then on Sunday, you heard what he said. He said, them women of the Family Prayer Center, they're anointed. They're women of God, and they have callings and ministries also. So I was like, oh, right, I can use that against him, and I can make that work. So that's kind of how I got here. Of course, when I asked Pastor, he said that was fine. And as soon as he said it was fine, I got this tickle in my throat that turned into a sore throat, that turned into bronchitis, and I was coughing up my right lung. I mean, for 10 straight days, I didn't sleep at all because I was just coughing. And I was like, I'm not doing any kind of messages. And I totally forgot about it. And then Homer calls Marty and says, you know, Marty, you got to do a service. And because I'm getting tired. And then Marty goes, Gay, you're up, because I had told him what Pastor said. And he goes, so if you want to do it, you can. I'm like, you know what? That first service, I was back from being sick on Wednesday. I was supposed to be up here worshiping, but instead I was like giving a message, and I was like, it was really good too, but I can't remember one word of it. And so of course he thought that was funny, and I was like, that is not funny, because it's one or two things: either I'm dumb as a brick, which the jury's still out on that, or it was not of the Holy Ghost to begin with, you know. So either way, I'm in trouble, you know. But I asked the Holy Ghost, he remembers all things, so he helped me. But anyway, I want you to know that I would say all the time when I'm up here worshiping, you see me up here worshiping, I'm at the throne of God. I'm touching God. You know, I'm not up here daydreaming or doing or preaching some message. So, well, okay. Some of the time, on Sunday mornings, I am thinking two things sometimes. You know, praise God, it's Miss Delia or Miss Melody's turn in Children's Church. Or I'm thinking, it's my turn in Children's Church. But otherwise, I'm worshiping. So let's turn together to Mark 4, verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. When we first came to this church and first got on this message, I remember being over at Pastor's house, and he was up on a ladder doing something weird, and we were standing there, and we were asking Pastor, you know, we had spent 10 years at this other church ministering, people would look to us for spiritual inspiration, motivation, guidance, and we had nothing to give them. We were just dirt. But when we got this message, I felt like we had something to give them. We had found that pearl of great price. And we would go to Tulsa, and we would buy books, and we'd give them these books. You know, I didn't count on myself to be able to communicate the message. I mean, it's in the book. So I gave them a book, you know, and I'd make it exciting. I'd write in the front something cool and some scripture and, you know, something awesome and inspiring, I thought. And no, we passed out 124 books, and no one responded. I don't even know they read the book. And I'm kind of complaining to Pastor, you know. Look, you know, we passed out a lot of books. You know, I expect at least one of them to show up at church and, you know, want to go with us on this journey. Well, he kind of looks at me, and I hate to put words in his mouth, but he gives me this look, like this blank look. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but my assumption is he was thinking about Mark 4. And he was kind of looking at Marty and I like, we're probably the one that received the message with joy. We sprang up, but we probably won't be around much longer. So he was probably thinking the same thing about us that we were complaining about our friends. And so forgive me if I ever give you that blank look, because I am not the person, if you're a visitor, to come to and hang out with. Because as soon as I talk to you, you will not come back again. You don't want visitors sitting anywhere over here. They need to go over there, because as soon as I say hi or try to make a connection or give them some tapes or, you know, encourage them, and I wait too. I'll wait 10 weeks. I'll see somebody come 10 times in a row, and I'll think, okay, I can say hi, I can introduce myself. I will never see them again. You think I exaggerate, but I don't. I had my best friend when I was a child. She started coming to our church of her own accord. She used to be a school teacher at the high school. She started coming. It was like awesome. She came 4 months. And finally, I knew she had a heart for the youth. And I was like, why don't you come to youth? I'll bring you on Sunday night. I bring her. She loved it. I mean, she saw young people worshiping the Lord. She'd never seen that before. She'd gone to other youth groups. You know, they play games. They give away toys, you know, pizza, you know, dances, you know. But she had never seen young people worshiping. Heartfelt, true worship. She was moved. I never saw her again. So, well, that's not even the point. The point is I don't know. Just don't. So if you're like a visitor and I'm not talking to you, that is why. So let's turn to Revelation 3:17. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, this is what Jesus says, and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That is what the Lord would say to the modern church if he was here today. He would say, you think that you are rich and increased in goods and in need of nothing. And that should be our worst fear.
Yes, ma'am.
We need to let ourselves feel need. Sitting in our church, because of the Maroon typhoon and, you know, the numbers getting a little low, our friends leaving, our family leaving, and the ones that of us that are here, we know what each other's going through, and for a lot of us, it's not very pretty, and it's hard. There's one or two things, two ways you can go. You can go into God. Or you can get kind of, I don't care. This is too much for me. I just don't care anymore. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to put myself in harm's way. I've just had it. You know, look at so-and-so. Look at so-and-so. It's not working. I'm tired, and I'm just tired, and I don't care anymore. Yes, that should be our worst fear. Yes, we do not want the Lord to say this to us. And twice he talks about Mark 4, the parable of the sower. But also remember the parable, the wedding feast, where they're encouraging people to come and they have the excuses. I have a wife. I have a field that I bought. You know, a pair of oxen that I want to prove. We can't afford to have those excuses.
That's the bottom line.
We can't afford to have idols. Idols are things that take your time away from the Lord. We can't afford to have them. And I want to kind of give you, I don't want to say a shortcut, but the answer to this dilemma, this when you see these discouraging things in your family and in, you know, our brothers and sisters here at church and in the empty seats, and you're forced to make a decision, you know, am I going to get a little bit of gumption here, or am I going to lay down? And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is kind of the answer for us. This is the nuts and bolts. So many times we've heard so many messages, not at this church, but at other churches, that are so not helpful. They don't tell you how. The how is pray in tongues and let the ministry of the Holy Ghost bring change, because change is what we want. We have a heart when we see the young person, especially a child in a wheelchair that's legs are deformed and we're deformed from birth. That is not that child's fault. You cannot go to the parents and say, well, if you had just, you know, and fill in the blank, if you had just taken vitamins, if you had just done this while you were pregnant, if you had just done that, there is nothing in the natural that can help them. It is supernatural. That's the need, too, that we can feel. We can feel need. I have need, Lord. I am desperate for the power of God. I am desperate because I need it, because there's no other way for that child to walk. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. That is the answer. When we come to this crossroads where it's apathy, where we don't care anymore, or it's I'm going into God, it's humility. It's when we humble ourselves. When we say, you know, we're not doing this right. I need you, Lord. I desperately need you. And when we are humble like that, he comes with grace. And grace is simply put, power. We've been taught all these weird little cliches, and right now the definition of grace has just been railroaded. But the truth is, it is just power. It is power that we can't generate in and of ourselves. It is the power of God. And we need that for change. Because even on this walk, I've heard myself say, see, with the born-again nature, we are no longer under the dominion of sin or any of its cohorts. We are free from all of that. And on top of that, endued with power by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So there's nothing but power on the inside. I've heard myself say, well, you know, I'm praying in tongues-ish. You know, I fast. Well, okay, don't lie. I don't fast enough. You know, I'm doing the best I can. You know, I'll change eventually. But the truth is, there is too much power on the inside to put it off. It does not have to be put off. And one of the ways and this is just experience. You know, I'd love to quote some cool verse out of the Bible, but I can't because I really don't know one. But my experience, when I come to these crossroads, I'll hear myself say, and usually it's like you're running through the forest, there's a huge lightning storm, you think you're going to die, and you say, Lord, if you deliver me out of this, I will serve you forever. It's kind of like that. I'm usually at some crazy trial and tribulation, and usually one that I thought I won comes in and tries to knock me off my feet, and then another one comes, just like Pastor says, you know, those trials come in bunches. You know, and I'm like, oh, Lord. And usually I'm speaking to the enemy. It's not the Lord. I'll just say, that's it. That is it. I'm going to, and then there's some kind of commitment. Like, I'm going to church every time the doors are open. Bless God. I'm fasting every Monday. Come hell or high water. He said it first, so I thought I could say it too. It's true. I wasn't going to say it, but I heard him say it. So, yeah, you said that. So I'm like, ooh. You know, some commitment comes. Some, you know, you just blurt it out. And hopefully, if you're lucky, there's people in the room that heard you say it. So they can kind of, hey, I thought, you know, we were going to church. You know, I'm going to Friday nights, bless God. That's it. You know, I don't care about no football. Well, you know, and you get kind of an attitude, a little bit of, you know, a little gumption there, put your big boy pants on, said, that's what we're doing. Well, when you make that commitment, it's not just the people around you, in the spirit, they hear. You know, they hear, they say, oh, okay. But when you're obedient in that, And I'll tell you, when you make a commitment of some sort like that, grace comes immediately. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, he wants to anoint that. He wants to come with grace and power. He wants to see that done. So grace comes immediately. And when you employ that grace and you do that thing, whatever it was, I have found in my personal life that more grace comes. Grace for other things I was having trouble with, you know, because sometimes you'll say it like, oh, you know, I got to pray in tongues 1 hour a day. I got to shut myself away at least 1 hour. I should be able to do it 1 hour. I mean, that's what Jesus said to the disciples. Can't you pray at least 1 hour? So you say, you know, I'm going to do that. And then you try to do it. You did it for 3 days and you got excited, but then it kind of, and then it's wheeled chill time and, ooh, I did 5 minutes and, you know, it digresses. So, but sometimes when you do overhear that thing, that grace becomes mountains and mountains of grace that you begin to access. and it can flow over to this other area that you were struggling with. See, that's grace. Grace is power, and not power from ourselves, not our own soul, our own will force. That's of no effect. I don't know if you guys tried that, but that will force thing doesn't work. You know, it has to be supernatural. So I encourage you, I call them quality decisions. Even though usually they're kind of spontaneous and you kind of just blurt it out. And sometimes you really regret it, especially if your kids hear it because they just don't let you forget. You know, or if you said it in front of everyone at church with your mic, which was dumb. You know, everybody seems to remember, you know, where's Gay at? She said she was going to be here all the time. She was going to be here early. She's not here. You know, but it does help you get up off the couch and get dressed because you said it and everybody heard it. And so that I have found to be like a little answer, a little shortcut to accessing that grace for change. And so it's okay to feel need in your trial and tribulation, but there is a better way. And the better way is agape love, because you can see the need in others, in the little blind kid, and that need move you with compassion. And that compassion moves God. Grace comes, power comes. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't do what I've done on occasion, which is, you know, I'll change eventually. You know, it's okay to say, you know what? I'm embracing this. I'm running. And I'm going to run, you know, because we've always been taught, oh, bless God, I'm like the turtle, you know, I just keep going, I don't stop. Well, bless God, but Jesus already came, he died on the cross. Apostle Paul, do you think he was a turtle? He wasn't no turtle. He was a hare. He said, let's get this going. You know, I'm only here for so long. You know, I'm going to die eventually. The Lord's going to take me or be martyred. You know, I don't have all the time in the world to be a turtle and plod along. There is nothing wrong with running the race like you want to win. You know, turtles don't really win. I mean, okay, you got your dumb story about the turtle that won, but it's a dumb story. You know, we can run and run to win. Let's turn to 1 John 3:16.
What if that turtle raced another turtle, Ms. Gay?
What?
What if that turtle raced another turtle?
We'd be a fast turtle then. Ain't nothing wrong with fast turtles. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's what we do when we choose God every time. We are laying down our lives for our brothers, for the saved and the unsaved, for the believer and the non-believer. We want all to be born again. All, Jesus paid the price for everyone. And we want to see them born again, a part of the family of God. And that only comes through power. You know, we have to have anointing and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. These enticing words of man wisdom, they fall to the ground. You know, these charismatic people with the blow-dried hair and the cute little jewelry, you know, prancing around on a platform with the cool singers in the background. Woo-woo! That kind of stuff doesn't last. It's like Homer was saying, we can get them in here in the natural. We can give them pizza, bless God. We can, you know what would work? I'm telling you. Somebody buys a brand new car and we sell tickets or we give them points when they come to church. You give them so many points and whoever has the most points wins a car. And you will fill this place up. And you'll fill it up for a good, you make it like a year-long program. I mean, it's a car. Let's make it a Mustang. You will fill up this church. Then some. We'd have to get the gym over at the high school or the stadium. we could have some people here. But you give the Mustang away, and you'd have to pray over it. We'd all have to pray over it, because that poor young man would probably wrap it around a tree. It wouldn't last. It just wouldn't last. And then you'd have to do it again. There ain't so many Mustangs in the world. We need power and anointing. We need what we cannot manufacture ourselves. Only the Holy Ghost, His ministry. I mean, Jesus is... We cannot lose. We're born again. We have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. We have the Holy Ghost in His ministry, guiding us into all truth. We have the printed Word of God. And we have the teaching of pray in the Holy Ghost. Do not take the Word of God out of context. You know, I've been told I come from a word-only church. It was not a word-only church, because if they had studied the Scriptures in whole subject form and meditated on them the same way we're taught to meditate, they would come to the understanding of praying in tongues as an edification and revelation gift. But you can't get that when you read half a verse here and flip over here and read a half a verse here and say, oh, Holy Ghost, tell me where to read. And you flip it open and you, oh, right here. You know, and all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. I mean, I picked that out. You saw me do it. I did not make that up. I just... That is not going to bring revival. That is not going to empty out a children's hospital. That kind of randomness. The Holy Spirit is not random. It is line upon line, precept on precept. He wants to do it systematically. It is a building with a foundation, with rows and rows of stone, one upon another. He is a master builder, the Bible says, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. It's a magnificent building. And I just want to encourage you, embrace, I don't want to say like, we are overcomers. By our testimony, we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. But when need comes, don't disdain it. You know, the Lord said that trial and tribulation, they're going to come. Let it draw you to the Father. Let it humble you. It's okay. Humility is good. Humility is our part. Humility is our part. So many times you hear people pray, Father, make me humble. It's like, what? That's not the Father's responsibility. That's ours. We make ourselves humble. We humble ourselves before the Lord. We resist being proud. We do that. We turn towards the Lord. We seek His face. You know, Lord, make me more like Jesus. Well, bless God, He has done that. The born-again nature is the same life that was in Jesus is the same life in us. The same life that was in Jesus that made Him live a sinless life is the same life that is in us as born-again believers. We can walk sinless before the Father. We can walk in love and unity with our brothers and sisters. See, that's the second part. Yes, we feel need when there's trial and tribulation. But the higher call is to feel need for others. When we walk in agape love and we have compassion towards our brothers and sisters. See, so many times I've been told, well, you just don't love enough. Well, I know that. I don't know how to love. And now I'm starting to see I could love. I have the capacity to love. One of the things that is changing is we've been taught to forgive. Forgive is paramount to everything. Forgiveness is what helps your prayers be answered. Forgiveness is what helps the anointing. When we forgive, the anointing goes up. When we forgive, there's grace. But I believe there's a place in where we don't even forgive. We like, when the offense comes, we just don't even take it. We don't, it's no different. Your offense is no different than if you complimented me. I respond to it no differently. There's no heart palpitations. There's no, I want to wring your neck. There's no talking behind your back. Or like my favorite is, well, I just won't be hanging out with that person. Well, I took the offense, right? I took the offense when I said, well, we'll just stay away from them. I took the offense. And there's a place, and I try to remind myself, and this is what I try to teach a girl. So I'm like, look, the Bible says, or Jesus said, you need to forgive 70 times 7, 490 times, daily, every day. So when someone comes, you know, and it's usually not like, gay, you're stupid, but it's the tone or the condescending tone that makes it very obvious, gay, you're stupid. And when you hear it, I just say, you know, that person, because I'm a slave, because Jesus bought me, and he's my master, like Pastor was saying, because I went over to the doorway, and he put that all through my ear, and I'm a slave now, by choice, that person not only can, but has the right to offend me 489 more times, if they so choose, today. And tomorrow we'll start over. They have the right. See, because, oh, Americans especially, and Christians, oh, we just think we have all the rights and nobody else has rights. We have all the rights. But I say they have the right, not just the ability, the right to offend me 489 more times, if they so choose. And I try to embrace it like I would a compliment. Like, gay, you look nice today. Thank you. You know, gay, you're the stupidest and fattest person I know. Thank you. I mean, really. I mean, just like bring it in. And not respond with, well, you know, whatever those things are that you say about that person. Because really, you're now the intercessor. You can now receive grace for that situation and that person so they can change, even if they have not decided they want to change or need to change. You become the vine dresser. You can affect change. And I just want to encourage you that when those crossroads come, to humble yourself. To when you make those rash, crazy decisions, that know the Holy Ghost is working and he wants to pour out grace and power in that situation so it can overflow into the other situations of your life and the other areas. And we can begin to walk in a closeness and a unity at our church, because that's what we need in the Spirit. So many things can be accomplished if we're one mind and one accord. And really, honestly, you don't want just everyone here. You want the ones that want to be here. And I want to be here. And I'm learning to love you. And I want to share this with you. 1 John 5:2. We need to confess this. I confess this. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. When we follow the inner witness, when we come to church and there's a prophecy and inside the prophecy's instruction, and we're obedient to that instruction, when we're obedient to the inner witness, we know that we love each other. We don't have to guess. It's just like we know we love God. Why do we know we love God? Because one, we keep his commandments, but two, because he first loved us. We don't have to go around saying we don't love. We do love, because the Bible says we do. It says it right there, right? We love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And how do we know we love God? Because he first loved us. We love. That's what we do. And we've kind of beaten ourselves up a little bit, saying that we don't walk in love. But the Bible says we do. We walk in love. We walk in unity and forgiveness, one toward another. We love each other. This is our family. And, you know, I asked the Lord how to start it, but I didn't really ask him how to end it. And he's already taken up the offering, so I can't even do that. But it's 8. See, I got a big watch, so I could know what time it was. And I encourage you, Homer, maybe you could get your smartphone out, have one of your sons set it for 8:30, and it'll just go, and you'll know it's 8:30. Because you remember last Wednesday you asked us if we would tell you it was 8:30? Nobody told you. Not one word, not one person said one word, because these are all like greedy, hungry people for the things of God, and they just wanted to keep hearing the things of God, so they ain't never going to tell you. So you need a phone. And set it, or watch has a thing on it. See, I got a big one, because I can't see, like, something pretty like this. It doesn't function. You can't, like, look at it and tell what time it is. You got to get a big one.
That would only be half closing.
Oh, well, it's first closing, which means what? Nothing. Okay, so let's stand up and pray. Father, we just have to believe that Pastor Miss Candy got made at home and that they're somewhere safe, Lord, and it's over for them. And we thank you, Lord, for a fruitful trip, Lord. We know it's fruitful for them, and it was fruitful for the people of Kenya, Lord. We thank you for everything that was done these past few days. We thank you, Lord, for everything that was done here at our church, Lord. We bless you, and we walk in unity together before you, Lord. We are a family. And, Lord, we just call all the other people in, Lord, as your family, Lord, as our brothers and sisters. We call them all in, Lord. We call them born again, Lord, all for your glory, Lord Jesus. And we bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.